How are you going to pay for grad school if you don't get a scholarship and you don't have the money in your bank account? Well, you're probably going to take out loans. Let's learn about Sallie Mae's student loan options. Welcome to the 222nd episode of Admissions Straight Talk, except it's a podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a stand out in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And not only in, but in at the best program for you. Before I turn to our guest, I want to give you one last reminder to beat our sponsor's price increase. Admissions Straight Talk is brought to you by Accepted, the premier admissions consultancy, and Accepted is raising its prices on August 31st. You have until Wednesday, August 30th, to snag outstanding individual advising that will help you show that you both fit in and stand out, and at current rates. To access that expert guidance, go to accepted.com/services and save. Our guest today is Charles Rocha, Executive Vice President and CMO, Chief Marketing Officer of Sallie Mae. Charlie had over 20 years of experience at Bank of America, MBNA, and Nations Bank before joining Sallie Mae in 2009. He's going to talk about how Sallie Mae can help you pay for your education. Charlie, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Great. And it's a pleasure for me to have you here today. Can you, just to start off, can you provide an overview of Sallie Mae options for graduate students?
Sure. Sallie Mae has a number of discipline-specific products for graduate students. So when I say discipline-specific, I mean separate products for medical and dental students, separate products for law students and MBA students, separate products for other health career graduate professions, such as folks that are studying to become a nurse practitioner or nurse anesthetist, as well as other graduate programs. Those are typically where the degree that's granted will be an MS or an MA.
And what are the differences between them? Interest rate or credit qualifications, or what defines some of those differences?
Yeah, sure. So in some cases, the rates and terms are slightly different. But what we also think about is the repayment options tend to be a bit different depending on the discipline, given how much it takes, for example, to be a doctor versus what it takes to go to business school. So I'll give you an example here. So the interest rates on the programs are pretty competitive. We have fixed rates starting at 5.74. They go to about 8.56. From a variable rate perspective, they start at 3.12. They go to 8.09. That's for a 15-year term. If you're a doctor or dentist, we're going to offer you a 20-year term. Those rates will be slightly less for you.
And are doctors and dentists, does the repayment period start with their residency, or does it start after they complete residency?
Sure. Yeah. So the programs are designed, as you indicated here, for the unique needs of students in those disciplines. So to your point, if you're a medical doctor, we're going to give you the ability to defer payment at least for 3 years post-graduation so that you can complete your residency. If you're not a family physician, but, for example, you're going to be a thoracic surgeon, we can extend that out, for example, to 5 years as you complete your fellowship. So the deferment period that happens after you graduate will vary depending upon your discipline. So if you're a dentist, we'll offer you 12 months. If you are a business school graduate, it might be 6 months.
Got it. Okay, so it really is very discipline specific.
That is correct. And that's what our research has been, that when folks transition from undergraduate education to graduate education, the focus is much more on gaining very specific skills to advance their career. And
sure.
Because of that, they pursue and look at very specific programs to do that. Our research indicates that we need to design programs that are very different because they may all go into graduate school the same way, but they all come out very different. And that's where I think we have a differentiation.
Is that the big differentiator between Sallie Mae and other lenders to graduate school applicants, that you do have these design programs for different needs and different specialties?
I think there's two things.
Okay.
First is, having the programs designed differently for each of these specialties. Mm-hmm. I think the second part is the amount of energy that we put in trying to work with customers as they come out of graduation and transition into repayment. So we touched on one item, which would have been the extended term, 15-year terms versus 20-year term. And when I tell you about those terms, Linda, I also remind you that we don't charge prepayment penalties. What we're trying to do is provide a term that provides a reasonable payment as people graduate. But we clearly know that as folks get into their careers and the incomes rise, that they're going to want to make larger payments, and oftentimes will pay off the loans much earlier than the term that we assign to them. The second thing that we offer them is also what's referred to today as a graduated repayment option. So one of the things that folks want is they just want a little helping hand as they transition into repayment. For many graduate students, not uncommon to interview, get a job, and relocate to a new city. So they need time to go through this process, and they need time and money to relocate. So the graduated repayment option gives them the ability to elect to make interest-only payments anytime during that first year for up to 12 months.
Hmm.
And this gives them a payment that's roughly 30 to 50% lower than what it would normally be.
Right. And if, like, again, I think the most dramatic, well, not necessarily the most, but one of the more dramatic differences is many master's programs are one-year programs. Obviously, the route in medicine or PhD sometimes can be much, much, much longer. It can be, you know, many multiples of that. As you know, medical school is 4 years, and then you have residency, et cetera.
Right.
So they're really very different needs. For the master's applicant, whether it's, let's say, in a STEM field or a business degree, where, you know, the typical master's is 1 or at most 2 years, and you say, I guess the flexibility is somewhat more limited, but I'm going to guess that the interest rate is also lower. Is that correct?
So the interest rates are relatively close, because,
okay,
again, we're going to offer the business student a 15-year term.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to offer the medical student a 20-year term. What makes the medical student's repayment period really longer, to your point, is adding another 3 or 4 years on for residency, right? So that 20 years is probably feels more like 24. But for that business student, that 15 years feels like 15 years. And most mm-hmm. of them will pay off closer to 7 to 10 years. That's what mm-hmm. our experience is. But they all basically want the same thing. That is the opportunity to have a little more flexibility in the beginning, because everyone's budget is being reset.
Now, you mentioned that you invest a lot of energy into the applicants kind of on the way out, if you will, when they're starting the career. Now, when you talk about energy, are you talking specifically about the flexibility to do interest only for up to 12 months after they graduate? Or are there other aspects of that energy?
Yeah, so the third thing that I didn't mention is forbearance. So not everyone needs lower payment. Some people only need 3 months worth of relief at the beginning. So we offer forbearance options. You can take up to 12 months of forbearance, which is you don't have to make any payment whatsoever. You take it in a 3-month installment. And so, again, every person's situation is different. Some folks want would rather have a lower payment for a longer period of time. Some folks would rather use the forbearance option. I only need a little bit of flexibility for a shorter period of time. What we're trying to do here is provide them options so that they can decide, given what their situation is, what will work better for them.
Right. Now, I assume if one is using the forbearance option, interest is still accruing during that period, correct?
Yeah, so interest is accruing during the forbearance period.
Right. Is Sallie Mae, and this is, I think, something that confuses a lot of people and wasn't confusing me and, you know, before I started preparing for this podcast, is Sallie Mae affiliated with the U.S. government? And what's the difference between its loans and U.S. student loans?
So you said that right, Linda. So Sallie Mae is not affiliated. Certainly, our original history 40 years ago, we were a government service enterprise. But we haven't been in that mode at least for the last 15 years. So Sallie Mae today is a publicly traded retail bank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're much more of what I refer to as an online bank, because we don't have branches. But we take retail deposits. and we make loans. The difference is all of our lending is focused in the education space today. The difference between our loans and federal loans, firstly, we take all the risk of our loans here. So like any other bank in the country that lends money, they're basically underwriting loans to ensure that there's a reasonable expectation of repayment. In the federal program, as you know, those loans are all guaranteed against default by the federal government. So all the loans today the federal government makes are made by the Department of Education. All of those loans are guaranteed by the U.S. taxpayer. And the difference between the federal program and private education loans is that is this notion of underwriting. So there's virtually no underwriting in the government program. There is underwriting in the private sector. There's at least someone else trying to ascertain whether you will, in their judgment, given their experience, you'll have the ability to repay when it's all said and done. And I do think that provides a bit of peace of mind to many of our customers, because I think that's the hard thing for young people to appreciate. Well, how much debt can I, would I, should I take on to pay for graduate school?
Right. How do you assess whether one is likely to pay back a loan? What are your underwriting criteria?
So we simply look at our criteria is around ability, stability, and willingness. The reality is in this segment where most young people are going to go to graduate school on a full-time basis, we're looking at their credit history. We're looking to see if they have an established credit history, and we're looking to see if they have an established credit history, have they handled that credit responsibly. And that's where we're making most of our judgment around that. We also look at their overall debt composition. So many of these young people went to undergraduate school. We know that they took out loans in many cases to pay for undergraduate school. So we're also looking at whether the type of debt that they want to take on to pay for graduate school makes sense given where they would be within their career as a consumer, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got good credit and you've been, if you've established credit, you've got good credit and you've been paying your bills on time, it is highly likely that you can be approved on your own. If you can't, so if you graduate and you want to now attend graduate school, but you really don't have any credit history yet, we will consider you with a cosigner. And if you're unsure about whether you have sufficient credit, we encourage people to apply. The application process takes about 10 minutes. You get an answer almost immediately. And if you can be approved on your own, we'll give you that answer. If we think that you could be approved or with a cosigner, we'll give you that answer too at the same time. So there's really very little risk in applying.
So on some level, the college student is better off taking on a little bit of debt or establishing credit than actually paying for everything with cash and having no credit.
I would always recommend that young people find a way to establish credit. Credit is such an important part, not only of getting a loan, for example, for graduate school, but oftentimes it is a test that folks use in the insurance business. It's a test that folks use when you're trying to lease an apartment. So having good credit is important as soon as you graduate from college.
Right. And how much debt is too much?
So that's always a hard question to answer. Our approach is we lend into the law of averages. Given the scale of our programs, what we're simply looking at is the debt that you're bringing to the table, does it look appropriate for who you are and where you are in the program? And we try to anticipate what you're going to add, what your graduate program is going to cost you as well.
Right.
So our theory around that is it's not uncommon for us to see an undergraduate student with, say, $30,000 worth of student loans.
All right. Let's say I'm thinking of applying to college and I'm shopping for a student loan. What would the process be like at Sallie Mae if I go to apply for a loan? I mean, you said I'd get an answer very quickly. What do I have to show? How difficult is it? You know, what's going to happen?
Everything can be done online. We also have an 800 number that you can call and apply over the telephone if that's what you prefer. The majority of our customers do the entire process front to back online. They don't really have to talk to anyone. You simply log on to SallieMae.com. You find the loan program that matches up with your career choice. So if you're a medical student, you're gonna take advantage of the medical program. The information that we need is pretty straightforward. It's simply we're looking for information about you: name, address, your contact information, your social security number. If you've got work experience, we want to hear about that. If you've got income, we want to hear about that. And with that information, we typically, and your permission, we typically pull a credit file report, and using the information you've given us on the application and the information in the credit file report, we'll make a decision.
Okay. And again, let's say I'm considering applying to graduate school, but let's say I'm not planning to apply this year. I'm thinking of applying in a year or 2 years. Maybe I'm still in college. Maybe I just graduated. What advice would you have for me to improve the likelihood that I would qualify for a loan at Sallie Mae? Okay, having good credit, I got it. That's part of it. But what other advice would you have for the person planning ahead a bit?
So I would say to you that the number one thing is what we just discussed, is establishing credit, handling that credit responsibly. I think it's also important that that graduate student, just like in the undergraduate side, we like to see that they are taking the right steps. They do good homework and research around the program, what they're going to cost, and they have a plan around that. We want to see that they've taken the time to take advantage of scholarships where they're available or federal financial aid where it's available first. When you think about private education loans in the graduate space really replace the grad plus loan. We're not encouraging students necessarily not to take advantage of the Stafford loan program. They've got low interest rates. They've got some terrific benefits here. And oftentimes we will see that we're making a loan behind the Stafford loan program. We're not making it in lieu of here. So we encourage students to basically follow what I call the 1-2-3. And this simply is apply for all the free money you can get for scholarships. An example of that is you go on SallieMae.com. Go to our scholarship search engine and see if there's a scholarship that you can apply for. Today, there's $16 billion in scholarships available through that search engine. The next thing we ask you to do is complete the FAFSA form, the free application for a federal student aid, and see and get a sense of what you could qualify from a federal aid perspective. That's also the same form that most colleges and universities do in order to award you financial aid. Figure out then how much you have in savings. Identify what your gap is, and if you don't have enough savings financially to cover the full cost of education, then I think the opportunity is to look at a lender like Sallie Mae and apply for a loan with us.
Okay. All right. And are there any academic or professional qualifications that are considered by Sallie Mae? In other words, does the person with a higher GPA get a lower interest rate? Or if you're planning to go into a field that's going to be high paying, let's say the STEM fields as opposed to liberal arts, are you basically able to get a larger loan or a lower interest rate?
Yeah, so let me say it to you this way. So Sallie Mae's program, we do business with every college and university in America. And that's important because not everybody goes to a top school or elite
right.
school.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone's going to be a doctor. And so our program is designed to basically ensure that if you've got good credit, we can approve you and provide you the funding you need to meet that first tuition bill. So where we see the differences in how we adjust for discipline and for debt load is really in these repayment options that I described earlier to you.
Mm-hmm.
So unlike other programs where folks may focus exclusively on, folks that attend these high-end
right.
business schools. So we accommodate those folks, but we also accommodate the kids that go to Ohio State University as well at the same time, because everybody mm-hmm. needs a chance to go to college, and we want to be sure that if you're pursuing a graduate degree, we're here to make sure there's money to help you do that wherever you might go. And as far as academic requirements, quite frankly, we rely on the school to do that. If you have sufficient academic requirements to be admitted to a graduate study program, that's all we need to know.
Okay. So you're not looking, well, I guess you are looking somewhat at income potential, but it's not a major factor.
It is not a major factor. And again, do we look at the ability to be successful academically in the program that you're going to take? We rely on the schools and the admissions process to help validate that for us.
Got it. Okay. How does one's outstanding debt level from undergrad student loans affect the availability of Sallie Mae loans? I assume it would affect the size of the loan that one would be eligible for. Is that correct? Assuming you handled it responsibly.
Sure, sure. So we will provide up to the full cost of attendance to graduate school. We don't adjust the loan amount based upon your current indebtedness. So once you're approved, assuming you are approved, we're prepared to lend you what you need to cover the gap that you have.
Okay.
We will look at your total student indebtedness, what you have today, and if that is, you know, significantly outside the norm, it is more likely that we're going to want to have a conversation with you to understand the debt load that you have, how much you think you'll borrow in total, to be sure that we feel confident that when you do graduate, you'll be able to manage that debt here. So there are our automated processes will take us so far, but there is some point at which there's some human intervention and some human outreach when that's appropriate.
And would a larger undergraduate debt level kind of lead you to request a cosigner?
That is potential, yes.
Yeah, increased potential of that. Okay. Can non-U.S. citizens or non-U.S. permanent residents apply for Sallie Mae loans?
Now, when you make loans to non-U.S. Citizens, we do ask that they apply. Those folks do apply with a U.S. A cosigner that is either a U.S. citizen or a permanent resident.
Would you consider an international student attending a U.S. school or U.S. citizens going abroad for their education? Pardon me?
So both. We will finance international students attending U.S. institutions, provided those students have a cosigner who is a U.S. citizen or a permanent resident. Conversely, we will make loans to U.S. citizens who choose to attend a graduate school overseas.
Got it. And would those loans require a cosigner also, or no?
Not necessarily.
Okay. All right.
That would be a function of credit, like we talked about earlier.
Right. And what is the study starter benefit at Sallie Mae? I saw that when I was preparing for the call.
So that's a new partnership that we have with the folks at Chegg. Everyone who takes a loan with Sallie Mae for the first year has the opportunity to take advantage for free of online tutoring services or online study services offered through Chegg. Chegg.com.
Mm-hmm.
Those services, so online tutoring is just what it is. Online tutoring is where you can reach out to Chegg at any time, day or night, and interact online with a live tutor and pose them a question and get help with your homework, whatever that homework happens to be, right? So they'll match you up with a tutor that's appropriate for whatever your course of study is and level of study. Conversely, for many students, particularly graduate students, the other service that they offer is a service that that offers a study guide. And that's to simply say Chegg has mapped many of the textbooks and programs that happen and provide study guides and help with typical questions you see at the end of the textbook chapters and things like that. So
mm-hmm.
If you're doing your homework, they got information that'll help you with that process. You know, part of what we want is to be sure once people get started, that they're successful. And our commitment to the success is offering this free borrower benefit in order to be sure that while some lenders will offer rewards for good grades, you know, my hope is we're going to do something to help you get those good grades to begin with.
Right. And of course good grades lead to good jobs, which lead to repayment.
And I would encourage your listeners, even if you never took a Sallie Mae loan, to log on to SallieMae.com and investigate the Chegg program, or to log on to Chegg.com and investigate the program. I really do think that when we think about success for students, everybody needs a little help at some point in time.
Sure.
And the services that are being offered are really terrific.
Great. And what was that URL where they could get the help?
So you can log on to SallieMae.com, and they'll be in the navigation bar. There'll be a way to get to the Chegg.
Okay.
The program that we offer, or you can go to Chegg directly. And I
right.
think it's Chegg.com.
C-H-E-T-T, right? If not, I'll look it up.
C-H-E-G-G.com.
Oh, right. Chegg. Yeah. Okay. Does Sallie Mae consolidate student loans? I mean, a lot of people must come to you with some debt from undergrad. Do you roll that into one big debt?
We do not do that at this time. Again, most our efforts are focused on helping students get a loan to meet that next tuition bill. So at this time, we don't do loan consolidation. We do know folks that do it, and we're happy to recommend people when appropriate.
Is there any question you would have liked me to ask you about Sallie Mae's offerings and program and the way it helps students that I haven't asked?
I simply like to say here, I think one of the big differences about Sallie Mae is this is what Sallie Mae does for a living. Right? Right. We help young Americans pay for college, whether it's undergraduate school or graduate school. I like to think from this conversation that people can see that we're pretty thoughtful about our products, our offerings. We're trying to understand not only what it takes to get you the money to pay the tuition bill, but at the end of the day, set you up for success when it comes time to repay that loan as well here. And so regardless of what you see on the website today and what I've shared with you, what I can guarantee in 3 to 6 months is whatever we're offering will be better than it was 6 months earlier, because this is an ongoing process of taking information and feedback from our clients and from our customers and making improvements. And we partnership very, very closely with schools to develop these programs and to improve these programs over time. This work that we do is not done in a vacuum. All of the design work is supported by market analysis, talking to real people, either thinking about going to school or going to school, or talking to financial aid professionals, whether that be at the undergraduate level or the graduate level. And I hope people see in the programs that we offer on SallieMae.com the effort that we have made, and we're always open to suggestions.
That's something, by the way, that struck me when I was visiting, again, as I was researching the, you know, preparing for the podcast, was that you have very thoughtfully developed programs for the different niches and specialties. It certainly came through to me, not only in this podcast, where I think you definitely conveyed it, but on the website itself. So that's, well done on that one. Now, you mentioned earlier also that there are variable rate loans and fixed rate loans. Yeah. When do you recommend one and when do you recommend the other?
So we really don't. So we provide information to help people understand the differences between fixed and variable rate loans. We provide information on the website to help people understand kind of what I would describe as the pros and cons of each.
Mm-hmm.
We allow the students, once they're approved, to make that decision. And it moves over time, Linda. We have more people who take a fixed rate interest rate loan today than we did a year ago. So the mix of fixed and variable has changed. Consumer
really?
Preferences. But you'll find, interestingly enough, so your MBA students who do a lot of calculations tend to favor the variable rate loans because they feel that they're going to pay them off sooner rather than later.
Sure.
And they like the lower rate. We find typically that, you know, medical school dental students who are going to borrow for a long time, they tend to favor the fixed rate. But it really is an individual preference. We, on our side, are indifferent to which you choose. The last thing that I'd like to also remind people about is that during the in-school process, when you're still in school, we do encourage people to make payments when they can against their loan. So the thing you mentioned earlier in the podcast here was that this notion of accrued interest. So the hard part for young people is many people will take a deferred repayment option, so they don't make any payments when they're in school. We offer students the ability to select a repayment option that includes a payment requirement when they're in school. We offer those students a lower rate. We find that will save them money over time if they can make payments, even small payments, against the loan when they're in school here. And the surprise to me is that 60% of our customers elect a repayment option that has an in-school payment requirement for the very reason to reduce and manage the amount of interest that accrues on their loan before graduation. And I didn't want that to get missed.
You know, I'm really glad you raised that, because that was something, again, that I saw when I was online and I thought it was really valuable, and I simply forgot to put it in my notes. But you know, I noticed that there were actually two, again, flexible options. One was paying a set, but even small fixed rate per month, and the other one was paying interest throughout one's studies. And that can have a material impact on the total cost of the loan.
And I would also say to people, we provide, everyone gets a statement every single month, whether a payment is required or not. So if you're, even if you're not comfortable signing up for a loan that requires an in-school payment, by virtue of the fact that we give you the opportunity every month to make a payment or a partial payment or some contribution against it, we're trying to make it easy for you to make a payment, easy for you to work down that accrued interest if that's what you choose. So for some young people, they don't make any payments during the school year, but they will make payments during the summer. In other cases, we find that family members will make payments for them against their loan while they're in school. It's hard for me to know how each family approaches paying for college. What I do know is many families see it as a shared responsibility. We're simply trying to provide a vehicle that allows people to borrow responsibly and where they can to control their total cost of borrowing.
Charlie, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I think we're just about finished. Where can listeners learn more about the many options and flexibility that Sallie Mae offers?
It's really simple, Linda. It's SallieMae.com.
Got it. Okay. Well, that is pretty simple. And we'll also link to it to from the show notes, acceptit.com/222222, as well as to related information that might be of interest. Listener, thank you too for joining Charlie Rocha and me for Mission Straight Talk's 222nd episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Mission Straight Talk and should provide your friends with valuable information they can't find anywhere else. Thanks again for coming. This is Mission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.